Open book management is a business strategy that was championed, oh my goodness, maybe in the early 90s by a guy by the name of Jack Stack. Now, Jack Stack was a guy that owned and really turned around this place called Springfield Remanufacturing Corporation, SRC, and that was a division of International Harvester. Long story short, went in there. There was a lot of, I guess you could say, bad stuff going on. So he comes in and he basically opened the books. So open book management is essentially a management style that shows everybody everything. The financials, the expenses, the profits, maybe even salaries, depending on how deep you go. And I first came aware of it reading a book by the name of The 100 Best Business Books of All Time. Now, Jack Stack wrote the book The Great Game of Business with Bo Burlingham. Now, these two kind of sat down and they spoke about it. And here's what he actually says. This is the words of Jack Stack. I began sharing numbers or using OBM years ago because I felt that my employees as a group were way smarter than I could be working alone. I have always believed that transparency is the best and most honest way to work, and as such allows me to sleep better at night. When times were hard, they had several lean years, the employees knew why we were needed to tighten our belts and why certain perhaps unpopular decisions were made. And when the company became more prosperous, the employees understood what it took to climb the mountain and were able to genuinely celebrate their contributions to our successes. But in order for this type of management to work, education, providing employees with an understanding of the basics of business finance, is key. Open book management, or OBM, remains an uncommon management approach because it requires constant engagement with everyone on every level of the organization. I happen to believe, and I believe Stack would agree, that this is the engagement that makes the workday worthwhile. So what we're going to talk about, and as you listen, you'll understand that I am by no means an expert. But what you'll find out is that this is a very interesting method of running a business, and I would really like to know your thoughts on it. And so I hope as you're listening to this podcast episode, I hope that you'll consider connecting with us. You can connect with me through email, Gary@Blue Collar Consulting Group. You can also find me on Twitter, blue_leadership, and of course, www.bluecollarconsultinggroup.com. As you know, I am your host, Gary Roth, or if you don't know, you're finding out right now. I started Blue Collar Consulting Group back in 2014 with the goal of making everything better. And so maybe open book management is a way to make your business better. Now listen, it has some very promising benefits. You know, if you come into a company, much like Jack Stack did, and it's not doing so well, okay, then you may want to show them exactly what's going on. So that could be a great way to establish trust and credibility, but to keep it open, to continuously provide that may be problematic, or it might be exactly what you need. So we're going to talk about some things that I have discovered about it. I'm a solo show here at the Blue Collar Consulting Group, but I'm also active duty in the Army. Now, as far as pay scales go in the United States Army, that's all public information. Everybody knows exactly what everybody makes. Interestingly enough, that kind of takes the urgency or the problem out. If you know what you're getting paid, so be it. But now the Army tends to look at rank more so than pay scale. In fact, you don't really want to refer to yourself as a pay scale, E7, E8, sergeant, master sergeant, sergeant major, corporal, etc. So we've kind of, I guess you could say, taken the emphasis out of pay and pushed it on, you know, position and rank, which is a great thing to do inside of a regular company as well, too. If you're a supervisor, if you're a foreman, if you're a shift manager, whatever the case may be, Sometimes knowing the pay differential can take the problem out. If you have a structured way of promotion, much like the Army does, then a lot of ways you can stop worrying about the pay scale. Don't even get me started on how we do things here in the United States with minimum wage and tipped employees and things like that. I think we should do away with tipping. It's such a ridiculous form of compensation that doesn't benefit anyone. You know, what happened to just being, you know, a good employee, you know, benefiting from, you know, doing and giving good service versus trying to earn an extra buck by smiling at a person? I don't know. It's a whole other thing. And please ignore that tangent. But let's talk about open book management. Now, there are a lot of people that say that it's not actually a good idea because of malcontented workers. They may be quick to, you know, extrapolate the financials to determine how much of the corporate pie they have versus how much the management has and how much less they have, essentially. Now, you know, there's also the urgency there that says, if the company makes a lot of money, I want my share right now. You got yours, give me mine, instead of seeing exactly how business works. Now, Jack Stack will tell you that you have to educate folks on business finance. If you're going to do this, you've got to be, you know, it's a dedication. It is a style. It is not something you dabble in. It is not something that you just experiment with. You either go all in or you don't. It takes trust. It takes courage. But now, with all that, right? Like with the courage, with the transparency, if you have nothing to hide, this could be a very stark contrast to your competition. So like if you're in a city and let's say you're a plumbing company and you know you've got company X over here that has 50 employees and you have 30 or 35 employees, your transparency could be very attractive to those that work for the other company that doesn't do that. And so sometimes you can attract talent with open book management. Not only that, there are a lot of folks that they really believe that it's the best way to go. Let's see here. Forbes did an article several years ago that in their study, they saw an increase of 30% in worker productivity and profitability in the first year alone. And so that's a great way to do it. There's some other advantages as well. According to Forbes, same article, they got better employee engagement. They got lower costs of supervisor, low supervisory costs, okay? So if you have people that just do a job, you are going to need to supervise them like crazy because they are not motivated or engaged in any kind of team ethic. I've seen this when I worked at a gas station. You know, the amount of product that walks out the door with the employees is absolutely ridiculous. When you do open book management combined with some kind of profit sharing, you are going to see that behavior disappear. They also saw that they had better frontline relations with the customer. So when you build that team ethic where they're all in it together and their work contributes to their bottom line, then of course they're going to go a lot farther with the customers. If you pay some high school dropout, and I know I'm being cruel for a reason, if you pay a high school dropout minimum wage to man your counter to work with customers, what kind of customer service do you think they're going to provide? Yes, Gary knows that there are exceptions, but generally speaking, you know who I'm talking about. Let's just pull back the blinders and say you're not going to want to do that. But when you do the profit sharing model, when you look at running an open books model, you might even be able to get some of those entry-level folks to actually give a crap. So here's the other thing too. When you have an open book model, according to Forbes, they were able to get faster and more agile responses to the ever-changing needs of the customer. So it's not about just, you know, being nice and friendly, but it's also about going that extra mile to, you know, kind of, be adaptive to what the customer needs, going a little deeper, going a little farther, carrying it the extra mile. Not only that, there's a built-in competitive advantage, right? So like I said earlier about attracting employees, about, you know, getting folks to work harder, this is going to make you better all across the spectrum of business, all across. And, you know, Jack Stack even talks about, you know, everybody's kind of pulling on the same oar. So that's the great thing about it. And then finally, one of the things that you need to look at it is gaming it, right? Like turning it into a game. And when people play the game, when people want to be playful at work and be competitive and pull together and things like that, you're going to see improved overall company performance, right? Your company's value is going to go up. People are going to like coming there. So really what this boils down to, and I know I've been all over the reservation on this one, and I apologize 50%, but really what the goal here is you build a trusted team. Everybody knows their role. Everybody knows what the company is making. There's no deception. There's no fraud. And then if there is fraud or theft or loss or whatever, people see that stuff. It really goes back to the military in a certain way, in that, like, if somebody keeps messing up, I hate to say it, but you're going to have a blanket party on that guy, right? Or some other type of corrective internal behavior. Like, if we keep seeing a loss in supplies and somebody is suspected of stealing, they're going to rat that dude out, as they should, or girl or whoever. And they're going to get rid of them, and they're going to be able to see that because it affects them personally. And when you can have that relationship of both personal benefit and loss, so goes the company, then you're going to have people that actually give a crap, that want to do more, that want to do a better job, that want to provide better customer service. They want to help the business grow. Human beings are incredibly intelligent, and when you empower them and give them a sense of safety and encouragement and allow them to game and experiment and fail and feel safe and yet feel challenged, you are going to have one of the highest, most powerful producing whatever companies on the planet. That's the only way to get that. When employees feel trusted and safe, when all levels of management are dedicated to both team and personal development, that's the winning formula. We all know that. One way to do that is open book management. So, if you have a business with more than one employee, then I would encourage you to look at this model. Do a lot of research. HBR, Harvard Business Review, has a very lengthy article about this approach. Forbes, Forbes.com, has a lot of articles about open book management, okay? It's definitely worth a look. Don't go to Wikipedia, all right? Jack Stack and these guys, they actually wrote a book called, what did they call it? Great Game of Business, and you can go to their website, greatgame.com. Now, of course, it's their model. They are going to, you know, expand on it, elaborate it, and make it sound absolutely perfect. And I know I've kind of done the same thing here, but I'd like for you to consider it. But remember, like I said at the onset, at the beginning of this, you can't just dabble in it. You either are committed to it or you're not. And if you're not, maybe you need to ask yourself why. All right? So think about that. Think about how you could implement it, or at least maybe improve your transparency on a considerable basis. And then, you know, mark and benchmark and monitor and evaluate the results that you have. Listen, that's open book management in less than 15 minutes. All right, I've probably missed some big things here, but, you know, hearing this again and again and again can get a little dry. So again, go to Harvard Business Review, go to Forbes, check it out, go to greatgame.com. And then also look up on Google open book management disadvantages, right? So that you can make an informed decision. I did that prior to this podcast. So, you know, look at the cons and the benefits to make the best choice. Again, my name is Gary Roth. This is the Blue Collar Consulting Group podcast, trying to make everything a little bit better. So if you have any questions, you can hit me up. Gary@bluecollarconsultinggroup.com is my email. Blue_leadership on Twitter. BCCG2000 on Instagram, and of course the ever so popular www.bluecollarconsultinggroup.com. Listen, thanks a lot. I'm out of here. Go check it out. See what you think. I will see you later.